Chapter 8. Fates Yet Obscured. Balthusar Narek stood alone in the ruins of a city. He could not remember how he had arrived here, and did not recognize his surroundings. He knew it wasn't Nocturne. He considered he might be dead, and this some pale and unimpressive aftermath, a purgatory that he knew he deserved. Endless destruction stretched in every direction. Collapsed habitation blocks sat forlornly in rubble-strewn heaps, upper floors entombing the lower. Devastated commercia districts spoke of sundered merchant houses and ruined trade posts. Streets and avenues, broken and split underfoot, led to chasms and dead ends. Communal gardens burned, statues well felled, fountains befouled. Culture and reason and prosperity, all laid to waste. Old lives lingered still, at least their shells and trappings did, like shadows reluctant to fade at the passing of the sun. Narek stooped to run his hand through the dust blowing across the desolate landscape. His finger came back white, and he detected ash as he put it to his tongue. Human remains, burned pure in the fires of immolation. "Old lives," he reminded himself. The manner of the city's demise he did recognize. Such utter annihilation could only have come from Legiones Astartes' weapons, a devastating lance strike from high orbit akin to the birthing of a nascent sun. All would look upon it in despair, before darkness robbed their sight forever. Narek wandered on, not knowing where he was going or even why, save that any warrior worthy of the name who finds himself in unfamiliar environs will scout out the territory. It appeared deserted. He tried to find a vantage from which he might get his bearings, but the city had been all but flattened. Passing into what used to be a large esplanade, a dirty river flowing along to one side, he noticed the fragments of an archway, perhaps a gate. It had been finely wrought once, bright and golden, celebratory. Statues had lined it, standing tall at the summit of marble columns, their wings outstretched, their holy visages. "Angels?" murmured Narek, initially alarmed at the flat, echoless sound of his voice. Some of the fragments of marble were shaped like feathery wings. As he regarded them more closely, he noticed the odd, washed-out hue, and thought at first the mason's stone had simply been bland. Then he looked across at the river and found the same bleached appearance. His own armour looked similarly drained. He held up a gauntleted hand to the pale sun, disturbed by the faintest glow of light shining through it, as if metal, flesh and bone had become translucent. The entire city, despite its sights, its smells, had an unreal lustre. Pyres stood on the horizon, distant enough to be indistinct, close enough to taste the burnt dead heaped upon them. Someone lived, though, slowly walking through the wisps of fading smoke. Narek went to draw his blade, but found he had none. He had no bolter either. No matter. Even unarmed, he could kill this cur if he proved to be a threat. An old man dressed in rags, holding a gnarled staff, resolved through the smoke and dust. Narek's face soured further as he recognized him.
"You old bastard!"
Narek called, starting towards him.
"Did you bring me here? Are you a witch? Is that how you did it?"
he asked, and then in a quieter voice,
"Or are you some never-born thing?"
His earlier confidence diminished a little at the thought.
"I am neither bearer of the word,"
the old man replied, though he had not moved his lips.
"You are a sorcerer, then,"
accused Narek, and wished he had a blade.
"Or I am dead. Either way, consider me displeased."
"You are not dead, bearer of the word, though you would have been, had we remained on Nocturne."
"Then I owe you a debt, do I?"
"Perhaps."
Narek looked around, then back to his hand again, and the light shining through it.
"Well, this is unsettling."
The old man smiled, as an elder might to a child in need of encouragement.
"I've never been in a psyker's mind before,"
said Narek, before eyeing the old man shrewdly.
"It is a wretched vista, thin and unconvincing. Even the stink of the dead is lacking."
It is not my mind, Barthusa,
said the old man, who was suddenly standing next to him.
It is yours.
Narek fought every instinct not to react. Instead, he looked down. The old man held a rifle and proffered it to Narek.
And so is this, a Brontos pattern.
Narek gently took the weapon and felt the markings he had made there. He knew every curve, every piece of it. The bolt-action reload for specialized ammunition, the cored barrel, the well-worn rest, the iron sights, the precision targeter, the short clip and its sheer, killing potential. A sniper's weapon. His weapon. Or at least a memory of it.
Impossible. Well, actually, said the old man, obtaining that was comparatively easy.
And unreal. Narek snapped the rifle across his knee, the two halves splintering down the middle before collapsing into the same dust that plagued the sundered cityscape.
Easy compared to what? He asked.
The old man smiled again, but evinced little warmth or humour.
You are a brutal instrument, Barthusa.
And you smile overly. It is irksome.
Narek took a forward step, his demeanour calm but menacing.
Twice you have used my given name, and I am none the wiser as to yours. Mindscape or not, I warn you, don't do it again.
The old man nodded, unperturbed, unconcerned.
As you wish. I have need of you, bearer of the word, he said,
and held out his hand. Resting in the palm, a small stone sliver gave off a faint aura that drew Narek's eye. His voice came out as a breathless rasp.
How did you get that? With considerably more difficulty than your rifle.
Narek met the old man's gaze and found a pair of eldritch eyes peering back.
Who are you? What is this place?
It is the Kwame district. It is Tophet. And it is Gulshia.
Narek's eyes became slits.
The perfect city. How? You called it Monarchia.
I never went there,
said Narek, curt, dismissive.
Well, then I wonder why it lingers in your mind. Have you seen it? Seen the devastation your kinsmen inflicted upon it? It was razed to ash. Curious that you chose to only partly restore it.
The bearer of the word smirked, unimpressed.
Is this where you tell me I am the desolation? That the purpose you spoke of on the mountain will restore this city and somehow myself? I'm not overly fond of metaphor. You may not have noticed, but I have a preference that leans towards killing, not poetry,
said Narek, his hands unclenching.
I need no weapon to kill you. If this is indeed my mind, I imagine your forced removal from it would be painful.
Tell me who you are.
Your preference towards killing is precisely why I need you,
the old man replied, stepping back.
Narek snorted. And this is where you throw off your cloak in a flash of...
The blow against Narek's temple forced him to one knee. His vision blackened, and he gasped at the sheer strength of the old man. He rose swiftly, head throbbing, off balance, but eager for retribution, and found a sword at his throat. Runes glinted on the blade, inhuman, suggesting power. Narek pulled up short as a bead of blood materialized on the blade's edge where it touched his skin. Mastering his anger, he looked up into the true face of his attacker and laughed aloud.
I knew it! The eyes gave you away!
Eldar.
Eldred Ulthran regarded the beast he had healed, knowing he would soon have to slip him from the leash. Sweeping aside his robes, he sheathed his witchblade. The act of drawing it had been a theatrical indulgence, more in keeping with the sons and daughters of the Laughing God. In this place, where ostensible reality bent to his will, he had no need to draw his sword. Still, the point had been made.
I am a seer,
said Eldred, speaking to Narek through the mask of his ghost helm.
The armour you wear under those robes says otherwise,
said Narek, rising to his feet and rubbing the side of his skull where Eldred had struck him.
I suppose this isn't real pain I am feeling. Oh, it is real. The pain is the mind convulsing.
You struck my mind?
Oh, that's low, even for Xenos. I do not care for that word.
Then I should employ it more often. You still haven't told me who you are.
I am a seer, one of Ulthwe. Eldred. Eldred Nurasha Ulthran. Is that meant to mean something to me? I am unimpressed, witch.
And what does a seer need with someone like me? A renegade, a zealot, a bearer of the word.
And whose word do you bear, Barthusa Narek?
Narek's eyes strayed to the sliver of fulgurite, still nestled in Eldred's open hand. On the horizon, a second sun began to dawn, more vibrant than the pale reflection hanging in the ethereal sky.
I warned you about that.
And you now know my given name.
Familiarity was contingent on it being reciprocal.
Then I lied about not using it. Are you usually this petulant, Barthusa? Or is it because your father called you by that name?
I have no love for him or you,
Narek replied. And Eldred could tell he was right.
But this is different, isn't it?
He said, holding the fulgurite sliver between thumb and forefinger.
You felt his power, didn't you? His immortal nature?
The sun's light brightened, touching Narek's grey armour in gilded shafts. Through sheer will, Narek averted his gaze, and Eldred closed his hand, hiding the sliver like a conjurer vanishes a coin.
I'm no pawn, said Narek.
I do not need a pawn. I need an assassin.
And you think I am oathed to you, do you? Because I owe you my life?
No, I think you will do it because you like killing, and because I can give you what you want, which is a means to reach him.
A nerve tensed along Narek's jawline, visible under his scarred skin.
Don't you Eldar have killers? Or don't you believe in murder? Too cold for your Xenos blood.
I asked you not to use that word,
Eldred warned, but left it at that.
And yes, we have killers. Many, and they are stunningly proficient. Alas, I only have you. This war is not the Eldar's. It is mankind's. Most of my race has no wish to be involved, though some are entirely too involved. I wish to see mankind endure. Others of my kind do not. You are crude, base creatures, barely primordial in their eyes, and doomed to repeat history.
Narek gave a wry smile.
Is this an Eldar attempt at flattery?
He leaned in closer, conspiratorially.
It has missed the mark, I'm afraid. I have no stake in this war.
He winced, half turning at the sun rising fast.
I doubt you even convinced yourself of that. You have a stake. It is personal, yes, but a stake nonetheless. Fate, Barthusa Narek, is of great concern to you, I think. Your own, that of your brothers, your father's?
A tremor below Narek's eye betrayed him.
Yes, I thought so, said Eldred, seeing all. Fate is occluded to me. It is important for you to understand how absurd this notion is. I am not merely a seer. I am a farseer, and I can discern the skeins of fate as easily as the scars upon your brutish face. It is a litany of suffering, Barthusa Narek. A map of your pain.
Eldred shook his head, almost surprised at the alliance he was trying to forge.
Oh, you are indeed an ugly beast.
Narek weighed that up in the expression on his face and deemed it fair.
Closer to the mark that time, Xenos.
Glad that his helm hid the scowl on his face, Eldred went on.
Your primitive mind would balk at the sheer immensity of the skeins of fate. So think of them as a web, intersecting, overlapping, myriad in complexity. A mind such as mine can navigate this web, cutting some strands, preserving others. A cohort of creatures, a cabal, some of whom are my kin, others, older, seek to manipulate fate. More than that, they have done so on several occasions. I desire to redress the balance. They have certain agents, remarkable individuals who can cheat fate, immortals of a kind, persistent. Each strand of fate attached to such a being vibrates.
It moves so fast that even for a mind as accomplished as mine, the scheme becomes obscured. Fate literally blurs. I must prevent such vibrations. Only then can I set matters upon the proper path. You, Arthusa Narek, are precisely who I need to still the skeins of fate, to still the web.
Kill these immortals, said Narek.
How? If they are what you say they are, then how can one, even as accomplished in killing as I, murder them?
He sounded rueful but distracted. The light burned. Smoke rose in uncoiling tendrils from Narek's armour.
What is...
he began. A distant figure stood surrounded by the light of that golden sun. He carried a flaming sword and wore a laurel crown. Eldrad smiled, as a master would to his hound.
Oh, you are amusing to me, Barthusa Narek.
I'll be markedly less so when we are face to face. I have killed witches before. Your kind, others, it matters not. You will use the fulgurite, or I will.
The light overtook them, but not just light, fire too. A storm of it, heralded by the rising sun.
Ever surprising are you, Barthusa Narek,
Eldrad said calmly.
Yes, though not all will require it.
It proves the Emperor's divinity!
Narek had to bellow against the roaring firestorm. His skin prickled. What little hair he possessed began to burn.
And as such it has divine power,
Eldrad replied without concern, seemingly heedless of the purifying flames.
His power,
he said, and acknowledged the conflagration coming towards them for the first time.
And you know that with it even gods, or those claiming to be gods, can die.
How do you know I'll help you?
Narek shouted, trying to turn, but the light blinded, and Eldrad knew he would barely be able to hear his own voice. That searing heat would be coursing down his throat, burning his lungs. Untouched by fire, Eldrad smiled one last time.
Fate.
And the fire crashed against them both, drowning the ruins of the perfect city in immolation. Far from sight, far from notice, cloistered away most safely, a farmer tended to his fields. He had done so every day since he had come to the farm. He had basked in the low, warming sun, he had breathed deeply of the air, he had listened to nature, and he had gratefully accepted the aches and pains of his labours at the end of each day. But as he stood amongst the crops for harvest, an expansive yellow belt of wheat akin to that which might still be found on Ajax, he stopped sharply and looked up. He felt something, a change in the wind, a presaging of inclement weather, perhaps. A hunter hiding in the crop in search of food, for there were herd beasts on the farm too. No, not a hunter. The farmer's gaze strayed to the man sitting on the stoop to his agri-barn. A thin trail of blue-grey smoke escaped in the parting of his lips. He watched the farmer ceaselessly, waving his hand in a dismissive manner. All is well. Carry on. The sense of change lingered. The farmer went back to his crops.